Good morning. Good to see you all today on this. It's still a beautiful October morning, even though there's some white stuff falling out there. And we might say it's not manna from the heavens. Actually, the Hebrew word for manna is mana, and it means literally, what is it? So we could say that's manna out there. it'll go away. It's going to get warm again, right? Please say yes. All right. Welcome to Grace Lutheran on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're so happy to have you here with us. We want to welcome those of you who are in the sanctuary this morning. Also, those who are out in the parking lot, welcome, who are listening to 90.5 FM, the Grace radio station, and then those who are taking this in online at home. So welcome to all of you. It's so good to be with you. Just a couple of brief announcements. If we want to look at the back page of our bulletin, first of all, Tuesday through Friday, I'm in the church office. I had a lot of fun this week. A lot of people stopped by for a socially distanced visit, but it was good. If you see my truck out there, feel free to stop in and say hi and visit a little bit. Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, youth group, grades 5 through 12, meet at the church. Bring your own snacks if you wish, as meals will not be provided. Won't it be great to just get back to boring old normal someday, where we can have food after church and fellowship with one another, and our usual youth group night is we serve a meal, and it's a lot of fun. But anyway, masks will be needed, of course, if we're inside the building. Thursday, Gazette items are due to the office. Could it be that we're getting past the point of no return for October? We're looking at November already. Wow. There's some birthdays. Happy birthday to you all. And then our October mission of the month, as usual, is the Ann Carlson Center for Children, a great ministry that we've had the privilege of participating in over the years. Next Sunday, October 25th, is Reformation Sunday, but it's also our new member Sunday, and then there's a little something about the pastor there, but we don't need to read that. Anyway, 9 a.m. Sunday school, 10 a.m. worship, as usual. Sunday, November 1st, kids, you know, the COVID thing kind of put a dent in our whole spring schedule. We do First Communion here, grade 5 and then 6 if the kid hasn't had it yet. But we usually do our First Communion on Good Friday. It's a beautiful time where we focus on the cross, focus on what Jesus did. That's what communion is all about. But that got canceled. So we're finally now, if you're a First Communion student, we're going to do this Sunday, November 1st. Communion Sunday. You'll just stay in the pew with your family and celebrate. That's what's always special to me, is when you come up and kneel at the railing and take it next to mom and dad. But now you're just going to do it in the pew, because we'll hand out our little cups with the wafer and the juice already in there. So, but that's put that on your calendars. That's Sunday, November 1st. We'll be providing First Communion for those students who completed the instruction last spring. And then just another thank you, and I'm going to keep thanking them because I know what an extraordinary effort they're making, is our Sunday school staff and volunteers. They are just going with a hybrid learning model. They're filming it and putting it online, but they've got some kids, and we're keeping them separated, so we do one big opening in the fellowship hall. You can see there's no tables in that section, but that's for a reason. We keep the kids separated, and I just want to, if you see a Sunday school volunteer today, thank them, because they're doing a really important work, and they're going to a lot of extra effort. That goes for our IT guys too, John and Phil. So they're doing that. Any other announcements before we get started? All right. We open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
We're going to open this morning with a beautiful prayer of worship, giving all the praise and glory to He who is most worthy, of our praise and of our lives. It's called Be Unto Your Name.
Before time, we are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Reading found in the book of Psalm 96, verses 1 through 7. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Declare his glory among the nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. Splendor and majesty are before him. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Let us pray. We pray for the suffering. O Lord, comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak, hear our prayers for all who are suffering during this time of turmoil and distress, that whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith, receiving and knowing your help and comfort. Amen. Our response hymn is the hymn titled Beautiful Savior, found in the green hymnal, hymn 518, or as seen on the screens. Thank you.
Thank you, praise singers. We acknowledge the beauty of our salvation every Sunday when we jointly, in the presence of one another and in the presence of our Lord, confess our need for a Savior, and we direct our attention to that right now. We find ourselves on page 56 of the bulletin or of the hymnal, or as it appears on the screen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives this promise to us in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us confessed sinners is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession, the beautiful summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And may God's peace be with you.
Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 7. The Lord's help for Israel. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Our second reading comes from 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 10. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The word of the Lord. The prayers of the church. Let us pray for guidance. O Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet not trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our society, grant, O Lord God, that your holy and life-giving spirit may move every heart in the midst of our society's current unrest. May the barriers which divide us crumble. May our suspicions and hatreds disappear, and that, with our divisions healed, we may live in justice and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For help in the pandemic, keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the persecuted church, we pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Linda. I think we heard in those scriptures from the lectionary for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost a theme of ownership. He tells us in Isaiah, chapter 45, that he even owns the pagan king Cyrus and called him to do his bidding to release his people. And then we heard Paul say in 1 Thessalonians that even the works that we produce, our labors, our endurance, they are produced by God, by His love, and by the faith that He has given us. And we're going to hear more about this theme of ownership today from the gospel text. And as we prepare to hear God's word, I invite you to once again talk your way through these hymns. We're not supposed to sing, but you can talk your way through them. We're going to sing a beautiful hymn, You Are the Way, hymn number 464 in the green book, or as it appears on the screen. Kids, this is your time, so I'm not going to ask you to come up and be with me because we have to stay apart, but if you could direct your attention to the screen, this message is for you. Well, I just pulled out of my pocket something that's a very familiar sight these days, and that is a cell phone. Or a camera. They're both. So I just got done teaching confirmation a little bit ago, and I used this phone, this camera, to film the confirmation lesson, and then we put it on the Foundry Facebook page for those students who can't be with us. So that's where we're doing it. Now, how many of you kids out there have a cell phone? Not yet. How many would like one? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we're waiting for Mom and Dad. Yeah, Mom just pulled the arm down. So if I had you up here, I could invite you to use my cell phone, and I'll take a picture. And you could do that. I could give you this phone, and you could take some pictures, maybe even do a selfie. But then you would have to give it back, wouldn't you? Why? Because it's not yours. It's my cell phone. And so you would rightly give it back to because you recognize my ownership of this phone. Well, we're going to talk about ownership today. God does own us. He created us. And we just studied in confirmation today how Adam and Eve fell when they believed the lies of Satan, and especially the lie that God was holding out on them and they'd be much happier if they did things their own way, and they fell away from God. But because God created us, He also then redeemed us. He sent us His Son. And so He is not only our Creator, but He's our Redeemer. And so we have to acknowledge His ownership. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but you belong to God, and that's a good thing. He not only created you, but He sent His Son to bring you back to him. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have created us, you designed us, but then you also sent your Son to reclaim us when we wandered off from you, when we rebelled and fell away. You didn't crumple us up and throw us away, but you set about sending your Son to come and pay the price to bring us back to you, and we pray that you would bless our time in your word this morning. Amen. Well, as we come before God's word this morning, let's just pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, your word is truth, your word is spirit. Speak to us now, we pray, in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you might have guessed from everything I've said so far that the title of today's message is simply Ownership. It's a title that I'm going to give Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. The scriptures are very clear about God's ownership of our world and of us. Psalm 24, verse 1 says it pretty clear. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it, everything. But we tend as humans to struggle with this truth of God's ownership. Even though God is the owner of our world and us because of our fallen natures, we often struggle with him over control. I'm reminded of a film from 1978 starring Burt Reynolds entitled The End. Burt Reynolds' character finds himself in the ocean far from shore, and he wants to get back, and he begins praying while he is swimming toward the shore, not knowing if he's going to make it back. Lord, if you get me out of this, I will give you 80% of everything I have. And as he keeps swimming, he gets a little closer, and finally he's thinking he's going to make it. And then he says, Lord, if you get me out of this, I will give you 10% of all my earnings. Well, he does make it back, and as he wades out of the ocean onto the shore, he says, well, Lord, let's just forget about what I said before. I think I can make it from here on my own. This is classic human nature, isn't it? We go to God when we're in trouble, and then we forget about him when we're not. One of the techniques we've developed in our struggle with God over his ownership of us is to compartmentalize him. In other words, we put him in a box. So, functioning in society demands that I divide my time and resources between different important things. So I do, and men are really good at this. We have different boxes we put things. Women tend to see relational things, and they understand the connectivity. We don't a lot. But we're really good, all of us, male and female, at kind of putting God in the God box. I often treat God like I treat my job, like I treat my taxes, or even my hobbies. I've got my time for God, and then we'll just leave him there. You see, in my desire for control, I try to compartmentalize God. Yet the question remains, what does God want from me? And does he stay in the box? I think we know the answer to that one. Today, from our gospel text for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, we will see some men desperately trying to keep control over their lives, and they will attempt to put Jesus in a box. And we will see that just can't be done. Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 21. Paying taxes to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went and counseled together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one. And you are not partial to any. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? Now, the poll tax was a tax imposed by the Romans just for being alive. But Jesus perceived their malice and said, Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And hearing this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went away. Now, the first thing that strikes me whenever I read this text, especially the dialogue, is, did they really say that? We know that they were probably not all that sincere, but they make some stunning admissions here. Jesus' antagonists actually admitted that, number one, Jesus is reliable. Teacher, we know that you are truthful. Then they actually admit that he shows us the way to God. Well, you teach the way of God in truth, they said. And then thirdly, they admit that Jesus is fair. You defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Now, as incredible as these flattering admissions are, we do come to the obvious question. So why didn't they follow Jesus? Well, they probably weren't all that sincere, but I mean, they just stated some heavy-duty truth about Jesus. So why didn't they follow him? Here is where we see our own human struggle with God's ownership. You see, following Jesus meant they would lose their positions, their power over the lives of others, and their status. Following Jesus meant they would lose control. It would be a way of life that was unfamiliar to them, and it wasn't safe for them anymore. They wanted control. And then, to keep their position and control, they refused to admit God's ownership of their lives and give God what belonged to him, the love and respect that he deserves, especially with the Son of God standing right in front of them. They tried to compartmentalize God by trapping his Son, their Savior, in order to keep their control. So let's take a closer look at their struggle with Jesus. Let's take a look at the trap that they designed for Jesus. Is it lawful to give taxes to Caesar? Now again, this is a poll tax hated by the Jews because the Romans were taxing you just for existing. Okay? If you were a person, you had to pay up. Now if Jesus says yes to this, yeah, I'm pay your taxes to Caesar, then they'll accuse him of betraying the people of Israel. He's not a patriot. He's not a real Jew. And he will be rejected. And then they will keep their control over the people. Now, if Jesus says no, it's not lawful, then he's guilty of treason to Rome. And he will be executed. And, of course, same result. They will keep their power. Now, as always happens when human intrigue meets Jesus' divine wit and truth, Jesus not only overcomes the trap, but he uses the trap to trap his antagonists in the hold of his inescapable truth. So let's just take a look at what Jesus says back to them as he traps them in their own trap. Let's take a look at what's known as the Tiberius denarius. Jesus says, bring me the coin. Bring me the coin that you had to use to pay this tax. And whose likeness and inscription is this? And of course, they say to him, it's Caesar. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And of course, we see here a beautiful statement of the separation of church and state also. We have the kingdom on the left, human government, and then we have the kingdom. Right, God's government, God's kingdom. Now we're in a position to see how Jesus exposes our own human struggle with our failure to recognize God's ownership over our lives. So what does it mean to render? What does it mean to render? When he says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's and render to God that which is God's. Well, the word here in the Greek is apodidomi. It means literally to give back. To give back. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give back to God what is God's. Just let that sink in for a moment. Give back. Okay? Something's been given to you. The government, yes, we pay taxes. The government provides things for us. And then we pay a tax to fund that. And God has given us a lot. So God is saying, I want you to give back to me. Jesus called them to recognize that they were actually holding back from God what rightfully belonged to him. You see, it's a bit stunning when you think about it. God's greatest gift to humanity now stood before them, but they would not give back their loyalty to God. There's a lot of sad irony in this story. In it, we see fallen people desperately in need of a Savior running in the wrong direction. They wanted to protect their lives by trapping Jesus in his words. But ironically, it was only the words of Jesus that could set them free and give them life. You see, in protecting their lives from God, they missed the blessing that God had for them. They weren't protecting anything. This irony leads us into some important application questions that we can ask ourselves this morning. First of all, a negative question. Are there things in my life that I'm, quote, protecting from God, holding back, not giving back? And then from a positive perspective, what am I missing out on by doing this with God? Let's do a little bit of a reality check here, shall we? First of all, let's step back, take a look at the big picture. Because God has created me, I rightfully belong to him. And because God has paid the price to redeem me, I rightfully belong to him. So, knowing God's ownership of me, do I still try to compartmentalize God to stay in control? Yes. We all do it because we're sinners. But do I realize when I render or surrender my life to God, he does not ruin my life, but blesses it? It seems like we have to relearn and relearn this lesson over and over again. So the key question here, how can I render my life to God when so much of me says, no, I can't or I won't? Well, there's good news for us today. You see, God doesn't change our direction with a club. God actually does this in a beautiful gospel way. God's promises create the surrender, the giving back that he calls for. You see, in losing my power over my life, I'm actually experiencing God's power. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. This is a guy who held back on God for a long time. He did it Paul's way. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees until he met Jesus, and Jesus turned him around. But listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Yes, Paul says, I am weak, I'm powerless, but that doesn't stop God. He gives me his grace. So losing my control over my life means living under God's grace and his control. We could go back to just the beauty of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. You've heard me say it before. Who's doing the verbs here? God is, not me. That's where blessing and happiness come from. So let's take a closer look at how God does this work of changing my selfish and turned inward heart. We can't find a better lesson on this than to just simply look at Jesus' love for me on the cross. When I look to the cross and the love that held my Savior there for me, It teaches me my self-centered heart. It teaches me what love really looks like, what love really is. It turns my resistance into willingness. It causes me to trust God for my best. If you ever doubt that God has your best interests in mind, just look to the cross. There he's given proof. This is what John says in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. We didn't know what love was until we encountered God and encountered his Savior for us on the cross. And then out of the mouth of Jesus himself, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. My friends, God's ownership is a beautiful thing. It turns us away from ourselves and our destruction into God's blessing and peace. God's proclamation to us, rebellious sinners, this morning is that he forgives us and chooses to love us. He changes us with his love shown on the cross of Jesus. It is there that he says, I forgive you. You can trust my ownership because I love you. Let us pray. Lord, forgive me for the coldness of my heart. Create in me by your Spirit the sweet surrender of my heart to you, my King. Lord, help me to carry your promises with me into the everyday of my life and to walk in the blessing of your presence and power. Lord, fill me with the intent and will of your Spirit as I say the words, I surrender to you. Create in me by your Spirit the sweet surrender of my heart to you, my King, and continue to do it every day and moment of my life. Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy and Becky. Beautiful. Let's pause for a word of prayer today. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your ownership, for your commitment to us, for your choosing us. We praise and thank you. We didn't do this. You've done it. One of the great gifts you have given to us is the opportunity to simply come before you into your very throne room in the name of Jesus with our prayers and requests. And we pray now, Lord, for any who are struggling during this difficult time, whether it be with their health, with their finances, with relationships. Lord, grant that you would be with them, that you would speak peace into the trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift up those who are serving us on the front lines. We think especially of our medical personnel who are exposing themselves to danger on a daily basis and then going home to their families. Lord, keep them safe, keep their families safe. We pray also for those who are out in the public providing us, serving us by giving us the opportunity to buy groceries and gasoline and home repair products. Lord, watch over them too. Keep them safe. Keep their families safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As our time together comes to a close this morning, I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able. So we close with our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God. Thank you for joining us for this worship service. It's been great to have you with us, whether you're in the sanctuary, in a car, on the radio, or whether you're at home. God's peace and blessing be to you, and receive the Lord's blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace and serve our really amazing God. Thanks be to God.